Try not to interrupt. So what I'm going to do today, we can do the review on the Shvius, Perek Zayin, Ches and Tes, but I'm going to double up the Zayin. I'm going to use also as the recording, the main recording for Zayin, because I lost that one. I lost my recorder. So if anyone's listening on the tape, just know that the recording for Chapter 7 and the review for Chapter 7 is the same recording. Okay?
Are you doing Zayin 1?
Zayin 1, yeah. So Shvius, Pesach Shvius, Chapter 7, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph. Says, we're now going to basically establish which types of plants have Kedusha Shvius, and the Mishnah starts. It says, Klal Gadol Amar B'Shvius. This is the great principle when it comes to Shvius. Usually it says Klal. What's with the Gadol? So one possible mahalach is that the Klal that includes a pair of Shvius is more broad. In other words, it says, for example, it said Klal Amar B'Maisrus. It said, like, you know, there's a general principle when it comes to Maisrus, but since Shvius is more all-encompassing, they put the word Gadol in. That's just, if you need to explain it, that's the explanation. So, the answer is, Kol Shehu Machal Adam, everything that is food for humans, Umachal Behema, or it's food for animals, Umimin Hatsovin, or it's food that's, it's plant material that's used for dyers. It's called a dye stuff. Min Sovin, like, it's a dye, D-Y-E, a dye. So then, and if it's also that it's the animal is climb arts, that it doesn't last in the ground. In other words, it disappears. So at the end of the season, you won't be able to find it anymore if you're an animal. Yeshlo shvius or dama shvius, then the plant has kedusha shvius, and its money that you use to purchase the plants will also have kedusha shvius. Yeshlo beer, it will have a halacha of beer, the food. Ulodama beer, and also the money used to purchase that food will have a chiv of beer. So I usually explain before, but I neglect to explain afterwards now, all the background here. So the principle is food, plants that are used like food are plants that have kedusha shvius, which means the rabbis look at like food, meaning that when you get benefit from it and when it's simultaneously destroyed. Meaning, when you eat it, you put it in your mouth, you chew it, so you're getting benefit, and as you're getting benefit, the food is being demolished, right? And that would be true with animals, too. So same with dyeing, for example, D-Y-E. Dyeing, you put it in a pot with the grass, and you put the wool in the pot, and you boil it up together. So as the dye from the grass gets leached out and goes into the wool, so the plant is getting destroyed simultaneously. So that's called like eating, as opposed to, for example, the rabbis give an example of wood, like for heating, like a barbecue style. So what happens is first you would burn the wood, and then the wood turns into charcoal, and the charcoal puts out the heat. So you destroy the wood making it charcoal, and then you only get benefit after that as a second phase using the charcoal for heating the food. So that's not simultaneous, and therefore that plants or wood that's used for firewood doesn't have kedusha shvius because its usage isn't. The benefit and the elimination are not concurrent, one with the other. The benefit you get from it and the elimination of the food is not simultaneous. Now, you can hear me over there? Yeah. Okay. Now, so what if it has kedusha shvius? So what's the nafka mina? So basically, the kedusha shvius means three things. First of all, you have to use the food in a normal way. You can't waste it. So waste means just putting it in the bin, garbage. And it's also wasting if you don't use it in the normal way. In other words, if it's human food and you give it to animals, or it's food normally eaten raw and you cook it, or it's, you use it for other uses, abnormal uses. Secondly, you can't do commerce with it, and that's commerce in a normative way. We'll see today exactly how we are Magdir, how we define what's normative, but you can't make a business out of parish fees, that's for sure, and you can't sell it in a way that looks like you're doing business. And the third thing is bior. Bior is an obligation to, once the food is no longer available in the fields for the wild animals to forage on, or not from Sukkim, so then you have to take it out of your house also. According to pretty much everybody, what that means is you have to take it out of your house and be mafkirit, and now it's ownerless. We'll see in the ninth parak exactly who can then acquire it. It's a machlokas tanaim, if you can take it back or only poor people can take it back. And according to the Rambam, who has a related different gears in the Mishnayos, so he learns that the beer means total destruction. So once it's no longer available for animals to forage upon, then you can't have it at all. You take it out your house and destroy it altogether. The details of which we'll see in the ninth paragraph. Okay, so that's the background here. Now, Mishnah base. Oh, sorry, the Mishnah continues. I apologize. So it says ve'eze. So what are examples of foods that are human or animal or dye stuff and are not miskayim in the ground? The reason why the only issue of not miskayim, of not lasting the ground, in other words, it rots or disappears, is nothing to do with Kedusha Shviyas. It's not a criterion that said if something has Kedusha Shviyas or not. What it is a relevant criterion for is if it has biur. Because if the food is not in the ground, and it's like, let's say, a bulb that sits there, it'll sit indefinitely in the ground and not rot away, it's always available for animals, and therefore, a food that is miskayim, that lasts, will never, it'll have Kedusha Shviyas, but it will never have biur. There'll never be a biur moment because it's always available for the animals to forage on. So here are some examples. It says, Ezezeh. You have an ala halufa shota, that's the leaf of the wild, the leaf of the wild luf. We've had luf a few times, it's something in the onion family. So the leaves that we actually saw previously that the leaves do wither, so they have shvias and also beer. Vala dandala, the leaf of mint. Va'ulshin, those are endives. Va'kreshin, leeks. Vaha regila, which is here that article translated as portudia over here, okay. Venetza chalav, that's a milky blossom. These are all foods that they're eaten for food, as and also they don't last all the year round, so they have beer also. Machal behema, these are animal foods. Hachochin vadardarin, thorns and thistles. Umin sovin, and examples of dye stuff. These are sfiche istis, aftergrowths of the Isatis. We saw this a few times already. Istis is the name of the plant. Woad in English, W-A-D. The technical scientific name is istis, their Latin name. And it uses a blue dye. It's called svichen, or aftergrowths. And the word svichen appears in the pasuk also, talking about Hilchos Shviyas. Svichen means things that grew by themselves. So the reason why, meaning uncultivated.
Svichen we have is in our sefer, is in our Tirat Zahut. That extra thing that's added to the Torah. Safah.
The Nikud is differently.
But it's the same root. That's what I'm saying. It's an extra an aftergrowth of the Torah.
When you get the Torah,
with all your children's names on it.
Oh, I see. That's called
the Sefah. Which is comes from this word. It's the same Shura.
Oh, your aftergrowth. I like that. Although we say that interesting. There's a Rashi brings from Midrash Chazal in the beginning of in the Parshas Noach. That the Iker Tolda, which is an outgrowth of you, like is your children, if you're a regular person. If you're a Tzaddik, it's Maisim Tovim. Maybe Rashi just brings the latter part of the Chazal. The Tzaddik's Iker Toldos is Maisim Tovim. A regular person is... His Iker Toldos are his children. A Tolda is much more Mechubad than a Sviach. Sviach is like, an afterthought just happens to crop up, and that's... it's a funny way of looking at your children.
Would be addendum.
Oh, yeah? Oh, maybe.
That's how they probably use it in modern
English. Oh, I see. Okay, interesting. Like very nice. So, anyways, it's called, the reason why the istis get the names always sviche istis, so one suggestion is, because it doesn't have to be svichen, is because even if you cut down this woad, it grows back a second time. So, and svichen, when in talking about Hilchas, Shvias are always talking about things that grew without being cultivated. They just grew back a second time because the seeds fell on the ground or whatever it is. So you got that, which is the blue dye. You have vakotza. Vakotza is a safflower. It's a red dye, used for a red dye. So those things, yeshlin shvias or demein shvias, if you, they have kedusha shvias, and if you sell them, the money is kedusha shvias. Yeshlin biur, they have biur, meaning when the time comes, they're not available for eating anymore. Well, demein biur, and the money actually is a beer too, so you have to be mafkir the actual coins or destroy them, according to the Rambam, if you go past the deadline. Okay, good. Mishnah base. Now examples. There's a funny girsa situation going on with this. I'll read it. It's a tricky read. And there's two girsas in the Rishonim, but either way, it says va'od kol ech acher amru. Another klal they said kol she'enu ma'achal adam. Anything that, according to this girsa, is not human food, umachal behema, and not animal food, umin hatsovin, and it's not dye stuff, umiskayim ba'art, but it does stay in the ground, yeshtam shviyas, udama shviyas, it has shviyas, and its money has shviyas, ain lo bir ve ain le dama bir. But there's no bir because it's miskayim ba'art. It sticks around. But we just said that if it's not food or food stuff or dye stuff, it has no kedusha shviya. So this mishnah seems to be like contradicting itself, the previous mishnah at least. And the maize. So the two pshatim, based on the gir sauce really. But so those have this gir sahir, like the rush. So they say it means nechal al yedei chak, food that's eaten, but eaten only because, like in a pressing circumstance. So that has enough kedusha shviyas. It's like, you know, you're considering a food because you have to. So that's enough. It's normally food, but it won't have bior because it's available all year round. According to the Rambam, he had a different girsa. So. I'm sorry, I switched up. Sorry, that's the other girsa. The rush is the other girsa. It's not food, but. I'm sorry. According to the Rush, his gear says not like this. He says it is food, and so on. The Chiddush is these are even al deir chak. According to the Rambam, who says it isn't food, he means it isn't food, but it's other things that have other uses, like detergents or medicines and so on, that are used in a food-like way. You know, also the detergent is used, destroyed as it's being used. Okay, that's a machlokas, but I don't, just based on the girsa. I don't know if it's actually a machlokas, halach l'maisa, about nechal ayed chak or not. Okay, Ezehu, so now what are examples of these things that are miskayim in the ground and that are either nechal ayed chak or that have other like uses besides for eating directly? Ikar halufa shota, the root of the wild luf, the ikar adanira, and the root of the mint, the akrabanin. Okay, Arch will translate this as heliotropes. All a heliotrope is something that like follows the sun throughout the day. You know, and the sun moves, like, you know, tulips. I don't know if I meant that or I didn't mean that. I don't know. Okay, the hachalbitin. That's the root of the milky blossom. All this in the previous mishnah here. The buchria, whatever that is, another type of plant. Hazelwort, says the Akati. Hazelwort, says the Akati. Fine, those are examples. Uminhatsovin, now what about dye things that are used only for dyeing, but yet used the whole year round? They're available the whole year round, so no beer. That's hapua, madder, M-A-D-D-E-R. It's a red dye. Varachpa, Arch will translate this one as rudessa intiola, whatever that's supposed to be. What?
Salvia.
Lintiola?
Lutiola.
Lutiola, L-U. Luteola.
This is a wild plant with multicolored leaves.
Okay, wild plant with multicolored leaves. Fine. Okay. Whatever it is, these are dyes. Rudessa luteola.
Reseda.
Reseda.
You can't close the DNA. Reseda.
Reseda. Oh, okay. My handwriting is abominable, obviously. Okay. So, yesh lehem shvias, l'demein shvias. They have shvias. And their money is shvius because they're used for dyes. Ain lem beer, below the demand beer, but there's no beer or the money is no beer because they're available the whole year round. Like, new point now, Reb Meir Omer, demain misabrin ad Rosh Shana. He says that any food that is used that doesn't have beer, but you use it, you sell it for money, the money still has beer. Any food. So Damein Misabrin Ad Rosh Hashanah. You have to do beer on the food on the money by Rosh Hashanah. Now you wouldn't have to do the beer if you use that money to buy their food and then ate that food. The food, we say the last thing in the chain of exchanging is what is Tofes, what grabs on the Kedusha, holds the Kedusha. So as long as you use the money that you use to buy Perishvias, the money you got from selling peyashvias, if you use it to buy other food, so you eat that other food with halachas shvias, you don't waste it and so on. So then, like the kedusha is taken care of. But if you didn't, there's kedusha sitting on the coins. So Reb Meir says,
it's interesting that was the coins ever like today? There's a dinner de malchus dinner. The coin doesn't belong to you. It's just a thing, so you can't destroy them. In those days, it was probably you owned the gold.
Yeah, it's for sure true. Because today we have what's called fiat money. When we say something's worth a shekel. It's not because that metal's worth a shekel.
And then it was
token money.
Token money. There's no difference in a piece of paper and a metal. In our just metal lasts longer, so they've used it for things that are currency. But you know,
then you could do beer on Mamish.
Yeah. Today it's those days was real, had real intrinsic values. A piece of silver.
Does it have to be food? Can it be drink also?
Yeah, food or drink, anything. Yeah, we buy food, drink, or oil for anointing. We'll see that in a second. Usually it's the case.
What do they do when they destroy the Chanukah?
They throw into the Dead Sea, I assume.
No, I've seen them actually bash.
Yeah, in South Africa, that's what they do. They put it through a press and then they treat it as metal.
I know there was a time my grandfather was in the metal business. I don't know. It could be in Israel, it's not against the law. Or it could be in America. I think there was a dispensation for a while on pennies. The pennies they let you destroy. You remember? Right, like toys. But I think now, then the copper and the penny became worth more than 1 cent. But I think they've dropped the copper content of the penny since then. Copper's surged in value. In any case, that's not our topic.
They changed it to a precious metal because they were stealing the electric wires.
Right, that's right. Someone told me a very funny joke. He said, the South African economy is based on iron and steel, right? 5% iron and the rest steel.
Iron and steel?
Steel.
S-T-E-A-L.
Well, both. That's the pun. That was the pun. I'll tell you again. South African economy is based on iron and steel.
Right.
5% iron and the rest steel.
Mm.
That's the joke. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I said 5, 9 to 5 steel. Yeah, okay, so... So Reb Meir holds that the money has to be destroyed. Now this is a derabbanan, and his idea is that since the money has kedusha shvius, we're afraid it will eventually come to like get mixed up in the regular money supply. So he figures if you put a clock ticking on it, that if you don't spend it by such and such a time, then it'll have to get beer. So then people will obviously spend the money and get the kedusha off promptly. So he just added that on, so to speak, so that it should be. That it shouldn't get lost in the money supply and you shouldn't lose the kedusha that's on the coin. Amr lo, but the rabbis reject it. They say, lehen ein biur, the food didn't have biur, kal v'chomer l'damein, so whatever they used, the money that got for selling that food doesn't have kedusha. End of story. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Klipe rimon b'haneit shelo. This Mishnah Gimel, you're talking about plants where the secondary parts of the plant is used for dye. Like, for example, klipe rimon v'haneit shelo, the rind of a pomegranate, and it's calyx, C-A-L-Y-X, I like that for a fancy word, I don't have a better word for it, the part that, like when you see Ramonim, you see like it goes on the arm, the hands of the Sefer Torah, so it looks like a...
Crown.
A crown, that's a good word. Crown. The crown. But then the technical term is called the calyx of the pomegranate. So, and klipe agosim, and the husks of nuts, like for example, walnut husks were used as a brown dye, not the shell, but the husks, galinin are pits. So these are used according to Bartanura. The pshat is that they're also edible. Like they used to feed to their camels, date pits. So they used to press and get more food out of the olive pit. There's a bit of food in there and a bit of oil. So all these things are secondary. Yesh then shvius. They have shvius. Ul demen shvius. And their money shvius. What's with beer? So, not clear. According to the Rambam, he said there's no beer here. So what you'll have to say is these things stick around. And so they fall off the tree, but like they don't really, they're available anyways. They don't decompose so fast. And according to the Gra, some do and some don't. And he just didn't want to get into that technicality here. Okay, totally new halacha in the middle of the Mishnah here. A new principle here. Now we're talking about commerce with the kedusha shvius. So it says hatsava, that's the dyer, sovei la'atzmo. He's allowed to pick up things from the hefker field and use it as a dye for himself. However, velo yitzba les bischar, he can't start dyeing for money because that's his parnasa and that's doing business with perishvius. She'enos en schar ba perishvius, you can't do business with perishvius. and also of lob bechoros. And same goes, not nafdushias here, you can't do business with bechoros. Bechoros are firstborn animals. The halacha is when you have a bechor, your firstborn animal, you bring it to the to Kohen as a gift, and he'll eat it. You bring it as a korban and eat it. If it has a mum, it can't be brought as a korban, that means some sort of defect which prohibits it from being a korban, then you, he can eat it, but he can't do giz and avoda, he can't shear it or work it. And he may want to sell it. There's no intrinsic kedusha, it's a financial obligation, so he might sell the bechor, which he's allowed to do, but they don't want the kohanim selling the bechoros on like in a normal commercial way. They don't want like a secondary market in the bechor trade. According to Rambam, you can't even sell the stuff. No, sorry. Yeah. So you can't sell it in like a normative way, not for a profit, none of that kind of stuff. Veloba trumas, veloba nevelas, veloba treifas, veloba shkatsim, veloba ramasim. And similarly, the rabbis didn't want trades in these kinds of things. Veloba trumas, trumas is food that's truma. So again, this is food that's eaten by a kohen. If it gets tummy, you can't do anything to burn it. However, not all kohen won't want to eat it. So if a kohen wants to sell it on to his friends, he can sell it. But again, not in a, they don't want to have people's eBay stores selling truma to other kohanim. And the Rambam here even forbids a Jew from buying truma, even as like to be a middleman for further distribution, lest the Jew come to be metamit and so on. It looks like business, not nice. Veloba nevelas. A nevela is an animal that died without proper shechita, so it's not kosher. Midoraisa not kosher, so no business with them. The principle is, the Yerushalmi says, in this halacha, if it's asr doraisa, you're not allowed to do business with it. And it's taka big shala about like owning a supermarket and selling, you know, pork to goyim. It's a big shala. I don't even know if it's mutter. I mean, you have to ask your local rabbi. Even b'shutfas with a goy, it might be a problem. So, right? However, doing business with animals that aren't used as food would be permissible, whether alive or dead. So, for example, if you're, selling dead horses to glue factories. So, there's no one eats dead horses, as far as I know. So, assuming it's not a food, then it wouldn't be a problem. Veloba treifas. A treifas is an animal that did get shechita, but it's not kosher for some other intrinsic reason. It had some sort of, it was damaged in some way that the animal wouldn't have lived out. However long it would have lived, it's a machlokas, but wouldn't have lived. It would have died on its own, so it's already a treifa, not kosher, and therefore you can't do business in these things. Veloba shkatzim. And not shkatzim are anything that's gross, not kosher animals. Okay.
Are there any of the ones which are listed that are creeping things or everything?
No, shiratzim, sheretz with a resh is those. There are eight shiratzim.
Eight.
Specifically eight, but these are shkatzim with a kuf. So there's no limit to these. No, eight. Eight is the sheretz, but the sheketz with the kuf just means yucky things. I don't know. It's the kind of things. I watched the Beijing Olympics. I saw some TV clip before the Olympics. They were showing the streets of Beijing, and then the shuk over there. You can buy like all sorts of insects skewered on and like lie. You want to.
South Africa, they sell mapani worms.
Worms. Those are grubs, probably, right? Those are grubs that they. Yeah.
I don't know, I've never tried
it. Actually, they're coming into Israel, Korean or whatever, a few days ago.
Bringing.
On an X-ray. And they exported, they arrested him.
What was he bringing in?
He wanted to trade these kind of snails and this thing over here for all his Filipino workers, whatever.
Yeah, so they eat all sorts of. It was amazing. Like, animals alive and skewered on sticks, still moving around. And, like, I don't know what they had, like, you know, octopus in a cage, you want to eat it like an aquarium, you just take it on, bash it there and eat it live, and what's the wild and wacky things.
What about medical leeches?
So I think leeches are okay because no one eats leeches.
No, they eat you.
Yeah. So all this...
Just one quick question.
Yeah.
Bechoros, what are we talking about?
A non-Kohen could eat a Bechor. What we don't want to happen is that there should be a trade. Commercial. We don't want commercial. We don't. Okay. Right, exactly. Bechoros are us. We don't want that. So that's shkatzim or any gross thing, and ramasim. I think they're overlapping sets. Ramasim are things that are like small and swarmy, like swarming little creatures. You know, like worms, stuff that go in rotting material. Okay. So.
But a swimming pool machine that can swim, what's called creepy crawling.
The creepy crawling, yeah, that's right. So the ramasim probably are your mapani worms, like the worms and grubs and stuff like that. Apparently grubs are very, very healthy and very Very nice. Yeah, I think the Australians like to eat them. Okay.
Worms?
Maggots and worms. Yeah.
Decaying matter.
Yeah, decaying matter stuff. Gross little icky things.
There's also a cochineal, which is a calorie pest. It's an insect that they use for calorie.
They use the red dye.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a big problem. Most red dyed foods are not kosher because of that thing. It's a beetle. It's a beetle. It's a beetle. Yeah, it's got an E code and it's not kosher, obviously. Okay.
It seems like Scots, according to him, is unkosher birds, fish, insects, and reptiles. It's not an emotional thing that it's yechi, you know, it's just unkosher.
Yeah, unkosher things. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not yechi in a sense. Or, I mean,
like anything.
It's an objective thing. You might think they're beautiful.
Oh, okay. Yes. But the word shag, yes. Shag. Yeah, it means not kosher animals, but there's something. I'm not sure which came first.
It's abominable because it's objectively described from the Torah, not because of a subjective emotional feeling towards it.
Okay.
Okay.
There's everyone knows the famous Chazal. You shouldn't say I don't eat it because it's gross. I'm eating it because Hashem said not to. Yeah. When you look at a squid or you look at a lobster, that thing is gross, man. It's like an overgrown cockroach you're eating. Okay. Anyways, be that as it may. Okay. But point taken. Lo yelokeach yirako sada mocher b'shuk. You shouldn't be someone who goes to the, who's a purchaser or a taker of wild vegetables and sell them in the shuk. Either the pshat is that these vegetables are growing wild, uncultivated, so it's mutter according to everybody, or it could be, we'll go with that pshat for now. So you can't go to the forest, find wild vegetables, and then make a parnas out of it. That's not right. Avlu loket uvedo mocher al yado. But he could pick up some, and his son could sell them for him. So, two like opposite interpretations of this. Some say, even anyone besides him, it's okay. Anyone's okay, because that's not the normal way of doing business. Even his own son, who's obviously close to him. And others say just the opposite. Say, his son is like not, he's like business agent, so his son will be okay, but anyone else would not be okay. Okay? If he did pick up for himself, you know, he went to the forest and picked up his wild strawberries, and then he decided that he had too many. So then it's mutl machra, and he could sell the last of the strawberries, but again, not in a commercial way. That means not in the usual place where it's sold, and not in a normal way that it's sold, etc. It has to look that it's just, you know, you're getting rid of it, so to speak, liquidating it at cost price. Okay, good. Mishdalid. We're going to basically, since we said you can't do business with these forbidden items, we're now going to establish like kulas when it's mutter. Lakach b'chor l'mishta b'no l'regel. This is your case here. You bought a b'chor because you want to make a big, you know, your kid's wedding with it. Or l'regel, you want to make a big, you know, mangal, they call it here. You want to make a big barbecue.
Mango.
I think mangal. I think it is a mangal.
What's mangal?
It's like a barbecue. Braai.
A special kind of...
I think it's just a braai, I don't know. Here. A barbecue. And I don't know where it comes from, I don't know. So I don't know. But you want to do it? So for the regal, you know, I don't know. Everyone comes for Sukkot up to Yerushalayim and they're going to make a big barbecue. But then you realize, you have too much food. Right? Mutla machro, you could sell it, it's okay. But again, in a non-normal way. Okay, a little bit of a new din here in the middle of the Mishnah. Tzadeh chaya ofos v'dogim. If you're a trapper and you trap chaya, wild animals, ofos, birds, dog, and fish, shnizdamnu lehem mine tamein, and then they come upon them not kosher species. Either someone will learn, most will learn it, like, you know, their trap catches a fox, so now what? And they want to eat it. Others, I'm sorry, someone wants to eat it, I'm saying. Others, the Rambam learned it means that, you know, he's out there hiding in the bushes, waiting for his kosher animal to walk by, a wild deer, and a non-kosher wild pig comes by, can he catch it anyways and kill it and sell it? So the Tanakam here says, mutla machron, you catch it, you got it, you could sell it, that's okay. I taught you a parnasa, just a happenstance. Rabbi Yehuda argues, he says, more mekel, av mishnis shenis mana loyal fi darko, even if someone happens to come across not a professional trapper, but he happens to come across a non-kosher animal, lokeach mocher, let him catch it and sell it. What's the big deal? As long as it's not his main business, he just—that's what happened. So, like, okay, what's the big deal? They weren't gozer against happenstance once in a while things. The Chum Oshin, the Chum disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say, like the Tanakhama, that only a professional trapper can do it. Their reasoning, though, is a little different. Their reasoning is, in those days, there was like a tax put on trappers, like for their trapping license, whatever you call it. And so to offset the cost of that tax, they're allowed to sell not kosher species to help pay that down. And the lach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can be makel and sell things happenstance, you can sell them, you pass them on. Says the Kahati, the Bar Tanura. Oh, my fire bell's going off in my head. Okay. I'm not sure what to make of that, the Rav here. The Beis Yosef says that once the rabbis allowed people to, professionals to sell, even when there's a tax, so then, like now, since they permitted it, even now without a tax, it's also permissible. That's the Beis Yosef. And I know for a fact you can't do business with not kosher animals.
You cannot?
No, so I'm not exactly sure.
What?
With not kosher animals, you can't do business with them. So I'm not talking about being in the horse trade. I'm talking about food, not kosher food. Animals. Why he says halach Reb Yehuda? I'm stumped. I don't remember.
You can't sell the guy around kosher food.
No.
It can't be your regular.
Can't be your business. Right. If it's the principle of the halacha is if it's a iser doraisa, then you can't sell it.
And
if
it's
well, that's like derabbiya derabbanan. So if it's a iser derabbanan, you're allowed to.
You deal with
rabbinically forbidden food. Yeah. Then you could. It's forbidden to Jews. You can't sell to Jews for sure. That's the neiva, but you can sell to non-Jews. So you know what? I don't remember what I said in the shir the first time. If I said Alachas Rabbi Yehuda, because like now I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that rav. Okay. I don't know. The halacha is like I told you. As far as I know. Mishnah Hay. Now we're talking about shoots and leaves. Remember my shoots and leaves? Eat shoots and leaves. So lulave zradin v'charuvin. The lulavin, like the shoots of the zradin, that's the service tree, that makes the uzradin, the sorb apples. Those are a little like, it's a tree that, they're not really related to apples anymore, but it's the same family like as the apple family, but so what, so is rose in the same family. It makes things that look like apples, little red things that are very astringent, you don't want to eat them, they're very like sour, you know, make you pucker, but they used to eat them back then, secondary foods. Those foods are called sorb apples. I don't know if the same thing as a hawthorn or not. You asked me that before, because that's what Nakati had said. I don't know. The charuvin, also the lulavin, the shoots of the carob tree. Yeshlin shvius, or the main shvius. There's kudush shvius them, because they're edible. Yeshlin beer, the main beer. They also have beer, because they get eaten off the trees. They don't last around. They get eaten or whatever it is. They're soft. However, lulave ha'ela, that's a terebinth, shoots the terebinth tree. Vaha batna, that's a pistachio tree. Vaha atadim, that's a thorn. So special kind of thorn that makes black seeds. All these things, yeshlin shviyas l'domein shviyas, they have shviyas because they're edible. However, ein beer v'lo domein beer, there's no beer to them because they always are around. The wood like hardened, they become like branches, so they're always there. It's a big chiddush, but that's what the Chazon Ish says. That's the pshat. They don't decompose and disappear, so they're available. However, aval le'alin, as far as the leaves of these things, yesh them beer. They do have beer. Why? But they shenoshin me'avien, because they fall from their fathers, meaning they fall from the branches. So those leaves are animal food. Once they're gone from the animals, you can't have them either. Okay, Mishnah Vav. These are like plants that are used for cooking spices. Havered, the rose, the kofir, the henna, the kataf, balsam, makes the oil. Valotem, that's a stone pine, according to the art scroll. Yeshlem shvius, the domain shvius, those are shvius, and the money shvius. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein la kataf shvius. The Baal Sam doesn't have a din of Shvias, Vesha Eino Pri. It's not a fruit. What happens is the balsam oil that comes out of that's used as a spice, that comes from the balsam tree, is like a resin off the tree. It's not really a fruit. So Shimon says that's not a fruit, it's just a resin. But the others say that is the fruit of this tree, that's the pri, so that's the machlokas. The lach goes like Reb Shimon, so it's not a fruit, and therefore it would not. It's like firewood and does not have kedusha shvius. Apparently it's a very violent flame. You see, there's other Mishnah talk about this stuff burning very fast.
Okay. What's the balsam?
Yeah, apparently the oil is apparently very, the word I'm trying to, not flammable, but like, words are coming to me. But you know, the vapor is released and it makes a big bang if you light it. There's a word for it. Dangerous. That's not the word I want, but in any case. Okay, Mishnah Zion. Okay, this Mishnah is, well, let's try to get through it straightforwardly. Let me just give the background here. We're talking about soaking a solid in a liquid. Normally when you soak solid in liquid so that the solid has taste, and the taste, Hebrew word tam, the taste of it gets absorbed into the, you know, it transfers into the liquid, and there's a big world discussion. We say tam ki ikar, the taste is like the thing itself. So if the taste transfers, then the thing itself, part of the molecules from the food has gone into the liquid, so you've got now those molecules there. That's called, so soaking is called, being koveshed, I don't know, to salt, to soak, to preserving, something like that. So if you, we're talking about now things that are pungent, that have sort of taste, you soak them in an oil or in a wine, the taste goes into it, and then therefore now you've got, so to speak, tam ki'ikar, you got taste inside the liquid. What will be the liquid in terms of beer? Okay, we'll learn this Mishnah twice, the first half, because we'll learn with the Bar Tanura, we usually do, but the Bar Tanura's pshat's very difficult, and then we'll do the Rambam. Bar Tanura learns like this: Vered Chadash. If you have a new rose, meaning a seventh year Shemitah rose, Shekavshu b'shemen yashan, that you preserve, that you soak into old wine, 6 year wine.
Oil.
Oh, sorry, oil. Excuse me, 6 year oil. Correct. Yilaket es haVered. You can just pluck out the Vered, pluck out the rose, as long as this beer hasn't happened. And the fact that some of the oil absorb some of the scent of the rose, no big deal. The yashim, says the Bar Tanura, the yashim b'chadash, you can also take, if you take an old rose, meaning like a 6 year rose, b'chadash, and you soak it in 7th year oil, but you let the time of beer, sorry, 7th year, yashan, meaning, sorry, they, yashan here according to the Bar Tanura is 7th year rose, yashan means 7th year, right, b'chadash, that you soak it in 8th year oil. Now at the 8th year, and since the Shas beer has passed, Chai Lebabir, you have to destroy the oil and the rose. And a Charuvin, when it comes to carobs, so Chadashim, if you have 7th year carob, Shekavshim B'yayin, that was soaked in oil, Yashan, that's 6th year oil, but your past Shas beer, then you have the Chai to Mavaret. It's a funny read, right? That's why the Rav is so hard to understand here, one of the reasons why. Vishanim, if you have old carobs, B'chadash, 7th year carobs, and 8th year wine, also chayv and bebior. It's hard to know what the chiddush there is, if that's the pshat. That's the.
This is an impartial
favor. Yeah, I know, it's impartial favor. There's like not much chiddushing going on. It's like very redundant and it's like not consistent. It's a tough read, according to the Bar Tanura. But so the Rambam learns totally differently. The Rambam learns it's a metzias issue. He says that when you have a new rose, there's not much taste there, and when you have old oil, it's not able to absorb taste or flavor or scent. So therefore, Vered Chadash, if you have a new rose, it's not going to put up much scent. Shekavshu b'shemen yashan, it's an old oil, which also not going to receive much scent. So no big deal, since there's no tam being imparted, so then yilaket es haVered, get rid of it. No, get rid of the oil, pluck out the rose, and you can do whatever you want with the oil, because the oil has not got the tam. And however, when it comes to, b'yashan b'chadash, if you have an old rose, which has a lot of scent, pungent, b'chadash, and fresh oil, which is absorbent, then chayav beer, then you'll have to destroy the oil because it absorbs the taste, the scent of the rose, even if you take the rose out of it. And when it comes to charuvin, carobs, so he holds that charuvin are like very strong and always put out flavor, and he says wine will always receive the flavor, therefore it doesn't matter. Now charuvin chadash, shekav shem b'yayin yashan, if you put, even if they're fresh carobs into old wine, doesn't matter, v'yishenim b'chadash, or if they're old carobs and new wine, either way, chayav beer. Once the shas beer passes, it's all forbidden because the times tastes have intertwined. So yeah, klal, there's the principle. Kol shubanos and tam, once you've transferred taste, there's the principle chayav levayer min hash min b'she'en amino. If you've got min b'she'en amino, meaning you've got two different species, like for example, carobs and wine, they're not the same thing. So carobs in the wine, if there's carob taste in the wine, that's nos and tam, it's given its taste, therefore you'll have to do beer on it. However, min b'mino, if it's min b'mino, meaning you can say you had old wine and new wine, the same min, two. It's wine and wine, red wine, red wine. Just one is 6 year, one is 7th year. So then, b'kol shehu, even with the tiniest drop of shvius, will ruin the whole thing because there's no other species to be mevatel the status of the other of the minority. So if we usually say 60 times against is enough to be a nullet, that's only min b'she'eno mino, because you say it's 60 parts. 60 part chicken soup to 1 part milk. So it's like as if there's no milk there anymore. The milk is just part of the liquid in the soup, but if it's less, the milk is still retains existence. But if you have not kosher chicken soup with yes kosher chicken soup, so it's all chicken soup, so there's no kosher, you can't make it disappear. According to this Tana, it's a big machlokas, by the way. But this Tana holds like that. Then we end up by saying shvius asuras b'kol shubamina. If it's you got basically shvius food that's if it's in its own min, it's osir with any amount, meaning it kedusha shvius transfers on. All the halacha shvius apply, not just beer. Shlo b'mina, if it's not b'mina, but no san tam. Then with any, and as long as the tam is still there of the shmitah food, then it has the halacha of the whole mixture that has the taste of it. It will have the stringencies of shmitah, no wasting and no business. Okay, good. That's Mishnah. That's the seventh parak. Okay, now we're going to continue on to the 8th parak here. Klal, okay. Now we're talking about uses for potus with kedusha shvius. So you can use it for, you can eat it, like we said. You can drink it. You can do sicha. You can anoint it on your skin. If that's all, that's normal. So klal gadol amr b'shvius. Kol miyuchad l'machal adam. If it's human food designated, ein osim eno melugma l'adam. You can't use it for, melugma is like a plaster. You chew up the food and use it to like cover a wound. So that's not normal usage. You can't do that if it's human food. Then tzarech lomar l'beheman. Of course, you can't use it to heal a wound of an animal. V'chol she'eino miyuchad l'machal adam. If it's not human food, it's so then osim eno melugma l'adam. Then a person could use it for medicinal purposes. Avlo l'beheman. But you can't take any 7th year produce and use it for healing animals. So not right. Right? V'kol she'enu miyuchad lo l'machal adam lo l'machal behema. If it's neither human or animal food, so then it wouldn't have kedusha shvius. However, if you are chashav alav l'machal adam, if you want to eat it for whatever reason, or l'machal behema, or you want to use it to feed your animals, then it'll have the stringencies. Nos n'alav m'chumrei adam v'chumrei behema. It'll take on the stringencies. Chumrei adam meaning no plasters for animals, for example. Chumrei behema meaning you can't cook it. You can't cook it. If it's normally eaten raw, you can't cook it. Chashav alav l'eitzim. If you think food that's normally eaten as a spice, but you just think it's just a weed, whatever, just firewood, so then harehu ke'eitzim, it'll have the status of eitzim. For example, kagon, hasiya, that's the savory, that's our za'atar we had in class the other day, va'ezov, the hyssop, va'kurnis, that's oregano or oregano. Right? Again, if you don't want to use it as food, then it's not really food because it's just a spice. And therefore, you could burn it, whatever it is. Okay, now, for the limits of Shemitah produce, Mishnah Bay says, Shvius, nitna la achilu shtila sicha. Shvius food you can use for eating, drinking, and anointing yourself. That's to keep your skin supple, it goes into your skin, and we say sicha kashtia. Anointing's like drinking. Leachol davar shadarko leachol. You can eat things that are normally eaten. V'lesuch davar shadarko lesuch. And you can anoint things that are normally for anointing, but not vice versa. Lo yasuch yan v'chometz. You can't use wine or vinegar as your salve on your body. That's not normal. Avasachu es hashemen. You can anoint yourself with oil because that's normal, even though it's also edible for food. But it's a normal, also edible, normally anointing. So you can do that also. Either one. V'chein b'truma v'maiser sheni. Same goes.
Just before you go, just go back to the last mishnah where it says that you can't use it shall be food for you. Not as medicine, Ramon says. But if you have the medicine that you eat it, like food, does it have the status of food?
Yeah. Melugma isn't a food. Melugma isn't a medicine in the. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. You know what? No. So, I'm sorry. Medicine is different. Medicine is considered not eating, and the explanation given is because medicine is like not the normal way for normal people to do it. So if it's a food, So, example, you would be allowed to drink a shot of whiskey for a sore throat. That wouldn't be a problem, because you're just drinking it. That's normal usage. But you couldn't take food that's normally used, I don't know, for eating, and process it into pills and use it as pills, because that's not the normal usage of the food. Even though it's a secondary use. Medicinal use is an abnormal usage.
It's not normal.
Yeah. That's why I think the same goes, people ask about the duck, orange duck, I think they're saying. You cook the oranges and you make a duck sauce with it or something. So I think that's the same kind of thing. Like, yes, obviously somebody must do it, otherwise you wouldn't be doing it either. But the point is, that's just abnormal. You don't cook oranges. You don't cook oranges. Oranges are eaten raw or squeezed. They're not cooked, and therefore you wouldn't be able to cook the oranges to make duck. I don't think you could use it for duck.
Also
cook duck.
Pomeranzi.
Yeah?
No. Oranges with syrup. It was a delicacy, cooking oranges.
So listen, it's all societal. That's the post coming for you. That's why I have to assess, is this normal or not normal? But my assessment is that it's abnormal. I don't think anyone in this shul ever cooked oranges, perhaps. I think it's possible.
No South Africans have, but I don't remember.
I thought pomeranzi was something.
Society.
So it's what's normal, Whatever that is. Okay? Great. Okay. So now back in Mishnah Base. These same restrictions of normal usage and not anointing things, that only using it for eating and anointing and not using it in an abnormal way, also apply to truma and maaser sheni. Remember, those things have to stay in kedusha. You have to use them in a normal way. You can't you can't do abnormal things with maaser sheni. Use it as a door stopper, I'm saying. You can't do that, right? Can't use it as plaster of Paris, whatever. However, kal mehen shvius actually is more makel than truma and maaser sheni. Shnitna lehadlakas aner, because you can't go burning truma or maaser sheni oil. That's not normal. You can only eat it or anoint with it. You couldn't burn it, but shvius will let you, because we say that's like eating. By shvius we say burning the oil, unlike wood, as it's consumed to provide light for you, that's what you want, so that's okay. With shvius. The shvius is more makel than truma and maaser sheni. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Now we're putting limits on commerce with the Shemitah produce. The principles are basically you can't do business with Shemitah produce, but you could smell it in small quantities, i.e. less than 3 meals amount. So we say, Ein mochem perish shvius lo b'mida v'lo b'mishka v'lo b'minyan. You can't go selling your Shemitah produce, assuming you could sell it for some reason, like it's extras or uncultivated, and you picked some up and left over, whatever it is. You could sell it, but you can't do it in a normal way. Normal means by measuring it, midah in like, that's called volumetric. Mishka will be weight, and minyan is number. None of that stuff. So in other words, you sell it by the box, by the crate, by the bunch, you know, informal. Below to ein b'minyan, so you can't even sell your figs by counting them. In other words, usually figs are done by weight, I believe. So if you can't do it in a different way than figs are normally done. Below yerek b'mishkal, and you can't do vegetables by weight. Even though vegetables are usually done by by the dozen, let's say. So instead of doing it by the dozen in bunches of dozens, you do it by weight. That's not good enough. It has to be totally just like sort of ad hoc bunches and loose and boxes, whatever it is. B'shami omrim, af lo agudos. B'shami say you can't even sell the vegetables like bound up at all, because it looks like that's your standard bunching going on. Right? No bunching at all. B'beisil omrim, he says no. Eshadarku la'agud b'bayis, if it's normal to do it at home, either the tupshatim. So it says ogdin osel b'shuk. You could be ogdin it in the shuk. You could bind it in the shuk. You could go in creation of an eitzam chalav. Like for example, leeks and milky blossoms. So tupshatim. One is, if you normally bind it at home, like normal, and then bring it to the shuk, you could not bind it at home, but bind it in the shuk, because it looks different. Other pshat is, things that are, even for domestic home use, are bound, and they're kept in bound ways. I think like maybe garlic you bind up and keep together, then that is like not considered like a business way of binding it up, and therefore you could even bind the shuk. Hamish, Hamish, at home, Hamish. Yep. Mishnah Dalit is now, when you're exchanging parish fees one for the other thing, so how the Kedusha works, it transfers. Homer the Poel. The person says to his servant, Hey Lach Isar, take this coin, Zeh, V'lakat li Yarek Hayom, and go buy me a Yarek. Right? So then, Scharo Mutar. That's mutter. Because you're paying him for the work. Right? How do I translate the word lakat? I want to translate the word not as buy. I want to translate the word lakat as pick. Go to the field and pick me a yerek. Why am I saying that? So the whole, all money is going all for the sake of just the labor. There's no money. There's no money going towards the food. It's all labor.
And you use the word gather.
Yeah, gather. Yeah, gather. Pick. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying here, so go to the, I'm paying you money to go to the forest and find me, or, you know, go to the hefker field and pick me stuff. That's okay. Schar mutter. Remember that yirakos are usually asr and shvius. So either you say it's the wild, uncultivated, or you say it's, according to the Rush, it grew, according to the Rambam, I should say, it grew the Rush. That it grew in the sixth year, but it just, you're picking it, it's ripe in the sixth year, you just have to pick it in the beginning of the seventh. So that would be mutter, says the Rush. Whatever the case is, that's okay. However, you say, lakach min, oh, sorry, if you say to them, laket li bo yerek hayom, you say, go get for me bo with this coin, a yerek today. Sounds like he's going to buy it, and therefore part of it's for the food itself. That would be usur, because you're doing business with a scharo usur. That meaning that the money that is used for the transaction, if the principal transaction, is usur as much as it's usur to waste and so on. It has kedusha shvius. Don't think usur means the transaction is usur. It means that the money used in the transaction carries kedusha shvius with it. It has those isurim attached to it. Okay? Lakach, and therefore you'd have to be around and so on, or if you left it too long and so on and so forth. Lakach min hanachtum kikar bepunyan. If you say, when you go to the baker, you know, I'll take that loaf that's worth a dollar, but I'm not paying you for that. I'm not paying you a dollar. You're giving it to me as a gift. I'll take that one. However, I'll return the favor. Kisha elkot yirako sada. When I next go to the forest and pick some vegetables, avilach. I'll bring you some. I'll return the favor. That's mutter, because it was never a finance. You never said I'm paying you money. You're not using the. You're not. It looked as an exchange of favors altogether. You know, a gift for a gift. Lakach meno stam. But if you just took it off the shelf, so that assumption is you're paying cash. Lo yishalom lo b'dmei shvius. You can't do him a favor and bring him, you know, vegetables from the forest, because she'ain porin cho b'dmei shvius. You can't pay your obligations with shvius produce. Okay. Mishnah Hay now are more limits on how you can use Peir Shvius for payment. En Nosen LeBayar, can't give, you know, Shvius or Peir Shvius to the well digger, Lola LeBalan, the bathhouse guy, Lola Sapar, the barber, Lola Sapan, the boatman. Aval, what you could do is Nosen Hu LeBayar Lishtos. You could give the money to the Bayar to pull the money out of the pull the water out of the well for you. Right? That would be permissible, not be paying him, although you're not being poreachov with perishvias. However, that money is going on the. That's because the water is like food, so you're paying for the water. You're paying for it to give you the water. However, ulakulan who knows him matnas chinam. You could give gifts to all of them, even if you know that giving them a gift will sort of make it, they're not going to charge you. So before you get on the boat, you give the guy a gift. Then when you get off the boat on the side, he's not going to charge you anymore because he feels that you're a good guy. That's still mutter. Gift's okay. That's a chiddush. Okay? Now, as far as the processing of the foods, you can't like process them and pick them in a normal way because it looks like you're harvesting in a normal way. Do you remember there's a big machlokas Rambam and Rush here? The Rambam holds that you can't do like whole harvest of whole fields at all. That's not Shvi's style. You have to just take small amounts, for a week's worth at a time or something like that. But the Rush says it's not a problem. As long as it's Hefker, not restricted from public access, you can harvest as much as you want. So that's no gay here in this Mishnah here, what we're talking about. But in any case, so we'll see now inside. It says, Te'enim shel Shvi's, when you come to harvest your Shemitah figs, like they're left for Hefker, they're not really yours anymore. Ein kotzno son, but mukta. You can't use the mukta, that's the standard fig cutting knife that you can't use. Aval kotzno son, b'churba. You can take your sword and whack him off the tree, because that's abnormal. Obviously not harvesting in a normal way. Ein dorchan anavim bagas. You can't press with your feet your anavim straight into the press. Aval dorachu ba'areva. You could press them into in a kneading trough, because that's obviously not normal. right? Veinos and Zaysim Bebad Ubakotev. You can't crush your olives in like the normal heavy base of bod, you know, the stones, weighted beams, stuff. Aval Kodeshu Umachnes Lebodeda. You could crush it like in a with the mortar and pestle and then put it into like a mini press. And Rebbe Shimon's more makel, he says, Af tochenu bebeis habad, you could use the weight of the beis habad, those enormous stones, to crush and grind the olives, and then machnes to bodeda, then put it into the abnormal, the mini vat. That's mini press. That's enough of a shinoi to make a difference, because it's such a job to others, to crush it by hand.
That's chiluk nomadim of the Shabbos, making olives as a deraisa. In any way.
No, grinding is grinding, yeah.
Made juice from oranges over at the rice and the zaysim even by hand in any way.
Yeah.
Dunk in this way. Is it the same chiluk in Hilchos Shabbos?
Midoraisa Shabbos, you only chayv if you do it in a normal way. So, I guess, presumably that is so abnormal to grind grapes in a mortar and pestle, grind olives in a mortar and pestle, that would not have what's called melech machshev. It's not the normal way of doing it, and it'd only be a durabonin. That's the pashas. It's called a shinui, right? Shinui, yeah. Like use the back of a knife to crush something, whatever it is. Yeah. Okay. I'm just guessing. I don't really know either, but it stands the reason. It just depends on what's really abnormal. I think that is really abnormal to grind it by hand. And the halacha is like Reb Shimon, actually, that you're allowed to grind it with because it's so abnormal, you can grind it with a beis habad. Okay. Good. Mishnah Zayin says, these are restrictions on destroying food. Ein mevashlin yarak shel shvias b'shem and shel truma. You can't go and cook your shmita. You can't, say, fry your shmita vegetables in shem and truma, in truma oil, because even if, you know, you want to fry, make, you know, I don't know, like fried leeks, they're delicious, right? But the problem is, really delicious, get the recipe of my wife, but like leek burgers, but the problem is the oil that's embedded inside there is truma oil, and if it becomes tummy, you'll have to burn it. Truma, you have to burn. But Shemitah, you're usher to burn, so you'll be between a rock and a hard place, because the halacha says you have to burn and not burn at the same time. So like, don't get into that. Therefore, you can't do it in the first place to cook your vegetables in a way that are likely to get you into a problem of having to burn it. Right? Shalo yavo de psul. So they don't come to that situation of psul, and you have to, yeah, the truma is puzzle. Reb Shimon says, he says, just, you can do it, just be careful. The halacha is not like him, though. Okay? Now, a new point in the Mishnah, new story. Achron nitvas b'shviyas, the last foodstuff in the chain is what's tofes, the kedusha by pri atma usar, and the pri itself is usar, meaning has usar as much as the isur b'shviyas. So in other words, you take your shviyas dates and you trade them for meat, and you trade the meat for oil, you trade the oil for milk. So then eventually you drink the milk. So the milk has to be, only the milk has to be drunk in the Kedusha Shvias business. The meat and the oil in the middle, the Kedusha left them. Because you transferred it on to the next thing. The last thing in the chain is the milk. But the first, the original dates, I think I said, that were Kedusha Shvias, always retained the Kedusha Shvias. That's the pshat. Okay. Mishnah Ches, more restrictions. These are things that basically are you might think are okay to purchase with Shemitah stuff because like they're indirectly involved in the food process. A lokhan avadim, you can't use Shemitah produce to buy slaves, v'karkos, or land, u'behema, tamea, not kosher animals because they might, you know, the avadim work the field, the karka grows the field, the behema, tamea also works the field, v'demei shviyas, that you can't do. V'imlakach, if you did, so now what are you going to do? Yochol kenegdan, you've destroyed the kedusha, like you've done a bad, naughty thing because it won't, but... You can't. It won't transfer onto those things. What we do now, tell you the food's gone. Yochel kenegdan, you have a kanas. You have to eat that amount of food anyways. B'kedusha shvia. So you've gained nothing. You did a naughty thing. The guy's gonna now. You did business with Per Shvias, and B, you have to still eat the same amount of value of food anyways. Yochel kenegdan, eat an equal amount of kedusha shvias. You can't bring birds that are bring as part of the Tahara process for a Zav. If you were a Zav or a Zava, you had this emissions, that multiple emissions that b'chayv you to bring a korban. Two korbanos brought, they're birds. One is a chatas and one is an ola. The ola is burned. I'm not talking about that one. The other one is the chatas. The chatas is eaten by the kohen. So you might think these things are permissible because they allow you to eat things again because they're matire you. Azav is tummy, can't eat certain things, right? Vakana yodos, same goes for the birds of a yoledes, a woman who has birth. A yoledes brings two birds, or if she can afford it, she'll bring, for an ola, she'll bring an animal, like a sheep, and then she'll just bring a, she'll bring a, instead of, she'll bring a, like a lamb, a lamb is better translation, she'll bring a lamb if she can afford it, or two birds. Again, same thing, even though this being matire her, part of the tahara process, doesn't matter, you can't buy and bring these things midmei shvius. If you do yochel kenegdon, you have the penalty, you have to eat that same amount of value of food anyways. Now, ein sachen kelim b'shamen shel shvius, you can't use shvius oil to anoint kelim, that's not tzich on your skin. V'imsach yochel kenegdon. If you did, you ruined it, but don't worry, you just have to have the penalty of yochel kenegdon and you're back in, whatever. Don't worry, do worry, you did something naughty. And on top of that, you're knast. You have to yochel kenegdon, you have to eat that same amount anyways. Okay, Mishnah Tess. It's not clear exactly if this is an example further or it's an exception to the rule, not clear, but it says, or shesacho b'shemen shel shvius, if you took a leather hide and you smeared it with oil of shvius, so Rabbi Eliezer omer yidalek. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to burn that hide. So that's like even more strict. Previously it said, just if you waste it and ruin it, just eat the equal amount as a penalty. Here, the whole hide is burned, so you're losing much more value, you're losing the whole hide. Right? V'cham omrim yochel kenegdo. The Chum disagree, and they say it's not so severe as Rabbi Eliezer said, it just simply means you'll have to, like everything else, the kanaf, the penalty, you'll have to just eat equal amount anyways, you've gained nothing. The halach is like the Chum. Now the Amru lifnei Rabbi Akiva, they said in front of Rabbi Akiva this story, Amru hai Rabbi Eliezer, they said Rabbi Eliezer used to say, and Rabbi Eliezer was Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi, or shesacho b'shemen shel shvius yidalek, if you take oil of shvius and you anoint a hide with it, it has to be burned. The hide has to be burned. Amar lahem. So Rabbi Akiva says, shtoku. They said, you know, enough of that. No more talking. I'm not going to hear any of this. Be silent. Lo amar lahem mash Rabbi Eliezer omar bo. I'm not even going to tell you what Rabbi Eliezer said about it. Because Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Akiva, was actually mekel, not machmer. Rabbi Akiva didn't want to say that. He didn't want to even bring up the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Because he didn't want to say it, he was mekel. But he said, trust me, he wasn't that machmer. Trust me. Right? And similarly, another story, Vod Amru Lefanav, a similar thing they said in front of Rabbi Akiva, Amru Haya Rabbi Eliezer. He used to say, Ha'ochel pas kusim ka'ochel basar chazir. They said that Rabbi Eliezer said that a person who eats the bread that comes from kusim, these kusim in the time of the Mishnah were like questionable converts, and they weren't so good at keeping Torah Shabbat Peh. So they said that Rabbi Eliezer said, it's just like modestly treif, gamor. Amru Lehem, shtoku, silence. Lo Amru Lechem, I'm not going to even tell you ma'asher Rabbi Eliezer omer bo. But the Yerushalmi explains he was matrit. Well, it wasn't close, but Rabbi Akiva didn't want to say that. So he just said, trust me, that's not what he said. Okay. Mishnah Aleph. Last case here. But Merchatz, if you have a bathhouse, Shehuska b'tevin obakash, that was heated with stubble or straw, shel shvius, mutter lirchatz ba. You could still go into the bathtub because what's done is done, right? Right, you'll still have to be yochel kenegdon, but like it's not like the previous case said, the chums, you don't have to burn the hide. Just you have to now make up the difference. So same thing here, the heat that went into the bath you can use. It's just that you did the veir of wasting shvius, but what's done is done. V'mis chashev. However, if the person, the would-be bather, is an important chashev person, who harei zelo yirchotz, he shouldn't go in the bathtub either, because people, the pashas is because people learn from his activity, like. Not glot kosher activity, because you're benefiting from shvius, not nice to do. The Rambam learns, like different, he learns, people will come then to burn incense, that's also good to shvius, and it'll make things worse. Okay. Fine. That brings us to the ninth parak, and the world of Svichen. For one mission, anyways. Svichen, we said, are uncultivated. They're plants that grew by themselves, not on purpose. The rabbi said that you can't get benefit from things. Svichen are mutter if it's a tree, because you didn't plant that year. But zvichen that grow, that are like yirokos, vegetables, and grain, since people are going to cheat and plant grain in the seventh year and say, oh, it's just zvichen, they don't like that idea. So they said, no, none of that. Any like 1 year, you know, zvichen is usser, even stuff that grew uncultivatedly. And the Rush and Tosfos all say that this only applies to stuff that was grown in the seventh year, that grew in the seventh year, but stuff that grew in the sixth year, that you just picked in the seventh year, even though it has Kedusha Shvias, because Peros, Yirokos go after the Lakicha, the time when you pulled it, so you pulled it out in the seventh year, it'll have Kedusha Shvias, but it's still Mutter. The Rabbanan, only us things that grew in the seventh year, not that grew in the sixth year, and were picked in the seventh year, that's the Rush. Rav disagrees, he says everything in the seventh year, the Rabbanan Usser, because of this Gezeirah, they stop the tricksters. The Rambam, however, is baked on the far side, because the Rush would hold that once you grew in the seventh year, it's forever more forbidden. The Rambam holds just to stop the tricksters. Therefore, in the eighth year, once that produce that grew uncultivated is available, cultivated versions are available in the eighth year in the marketplace again, then retroactively, the seventh year produce becomes permissible, because now the tricksters have gained nothing.
The Rambam.
Yeah, that's Rambam. Okay. Yep, good.
The thing here, I just note he talks about mustard.
We're going to get there in 1 second, yeah?
You're not there.
Well, mustard's going to come up in a second. Yeah, we'll get there. So, here we go. These things, hapegum, that's rue, R-U-E, vaha yarbuzin, asparagus, hashotin, the wild asparagus, vaha chalgalgos, whatever that is, the purslane, I told you that's the, people ate it, that's it, okay? V'kuzbar shebaharim, wild coriander, v'ha karpas shebenaharos, karpas of the rivers, either celery or cress or parsley, whatever it is, v'gargir shel afar, the article translated as the meadow rocket, gargar is a bean, afar is dirt, whatever it is, patur minamaisris, those things are all patur from isris, because those things just grow like a, They're hefker. V'nilkachin makol adam b'shvias. You can buy them for anybody on shvias because they can be presumed to be uncultivated. It's not worth people's while to cultivate them properly. Jankiyot b'am dishmar. These are the kind of things that people don't guard and cultivate. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, sfiche chardel mutarin. He says, even sfiche chardel. Chardel is cultivated. It's mustard. Mustard is a cultivated crop. However, the aftergrowths of mustard are permissible. Because people who are, you know, in the counterfeiting business don't counterfeit, you know, pennies. The chardel's not worth much, so they're not going to go to the business to break shvias over a few mustard seeds. Yep. Okay.
So what Kahati says is that this whatever grows spontaneously, the seed just fell to the ground. In other words, self-seeded. If you don't do anything, and naturally...
That's speaking, exactly. That's what's uncultivated. That's how will it grow a second time. But... So normally that's usher. That's all usher except for mustard. Because mustard is so invaluable, the rabbis didn't goes against it. Because no trickster is going to do that. Okay. Reb Shimon Omer, kol svichen mutar and chutz masvichen kruv. Rabbi Shimon says, all svichen are mutar. He rejects the rabbinic enactment altogether, except for svichen kruv, except for aftergrowths of cabbages, she'en kiyot zibem yibirakos birakos sade. There's those things, wild cabbages growing. So, like, obviously, something's fishy going on over here. V'acham omrim, no, kol svichen asur. And the rabbi said, like I explained in the beginning, all svichen are asur. We're talking about yirokos and grain, and I guess the machlokos in the Rosh and the Rambam, exactly when it kicks in and when it ends. Okay, Mishnah base, without a map, is hard to make sense of. We'll read the words, I'll explain it. The principle is very simple. In fact, even the implications of the Mishnah will only be discussed in Mishnah Gimel, but let me translate it for you here. Shalosh Arotzos to Biur. There are three different areas when it comes to Biur. We'll see, let's learn for a second here that the relevance is that you can, we'll see it's Melchukos Tanayim in the next Mishnah, we'll learn it that when do you say the food is not available anymore? When it's unavailable in the whole region, but there are three like climactic regions in Israel, mainly, so the whole, that each region is its own separate climate, therefore there'll be different shas beer for each of the three regions. Okay, so it says shalosh aratzos the beer. There are three regions in the land of Israel when it comes to beer. They are Yehuda, which is like central, south and central Israel. What we call central, what they would call south, because Israel didn't have the south like we have a south today. So we're in Yehuda right now. But that's what we call central. But in those days it was like toward the bottom of the country. Right? Ve'eva Yarden, that's machlokus, but let's learn for a second. It means the other side of the Jordan River, meaning in the what we call Jordan today, Transjordan.
One day this will just be the west.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. Very good. That's very good. Va'galil. The Galil is the north. Okay. Shalosh aratz the kol achas v'achas. Those three are each divided into three subsections. So the Galil is divided into the Galil ha'elyon, that's the northern part, the highlands, let's call them. V'Galil ha'tachton, the lowlands of the north. V'Emek, the valley. And we'll explain in a second. Mikfar Chananya ulamalan. From north of Kfar Chananya, Kol She'eno Megadol Shikman, when a sycamore can't grow there because it's too elevated, that's Galil Elyon, that's the upper Galilee. Mikfar Chananya Ulamatan, below Kfar Chananya, Kol Shu Megadol Shikman, and sycamore grows there, that's Galil Tachton, that's lower Galilee. Utchum Tveria, around the lake, that's called Ha'emek, that's the valley. Ubi Yehuda, Yehuda, how's that? It's Hahar. That's the mountain, whatever that mountain is, right? Or the mountains region. Shvela, the lowlands around it. Va'emek, the valley. Exactly where these are is like going to get more and more gray. Whatever it is. Now,
Jerusalem, I would think, would be the mountain.
Yeah, you think so, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's high.
Yeah. And Hebron is also high, although some people want to say that Hebron is the lowland. That's a problem. Okay. It's if you're interested in looking at it, there's a full treatment in the appendix in the art scroll, Yerushalmi English Shvius, Chelik Beis. It goes on for pages and pages of maps, color maps I showed you. That's the place to look. Now the next words in the Mishnayos here are like totally... Yeah, sure, it's very nogea halacha l'maisa. I'm just saying the actual pratim are way too complex for this. And the words of the Mishnah, even the next words here, like are more or less anyone's guess. Ushvelas Lud, Kushvelas Hadarom. The lowland of Lud is like the lowland of Darom, but it's not clear, are we talking, now are we trying to give some shirim in Yehuda, or are we trying to, have we moved on now to the the Eivor Yarden, because the Eivor Yarden is described otherwise. Okay. Vahar shall. Shalak Har Melech, it's mountains like the Mount of Melech, or Beis Choron, or Beis Yam, Medina Achas. From Beis Choron to the water is one land. Okay, I'm not going to bother to explain that, because I can't even make sense of it from each, every shot's different. Okay, fine, but now Mishnah Gimel discusses the implications of what we just said. V'lam Amru Shalash Aratos, why do you have to say three Aratos? Sheyu Ochlin B'chol Achas V'Achas, you can eat each one of them individually, Ad Sheyichla Ha'achron Shabbat, until anywhere in that land, there's no more of that particular food growing, then it's considered not available for the animals, and now you have beer, shas beer. So, according to Tanakhama here, the three sub-regions are totally non-halachically important. It's the three macro-regions, that counts for beer. Each of the three sub-regions in the three macro-regions, just, you know, they're just signposting for drawing maps. Now, Reb Shimon Omer, Lo Amru Shalosh Aratzos Ela B'Yehuda. Reb Shimon says the only place you have three regions is Yehuda. No, the rest of the country is all one time. Ushar Koloratus Har Melech. It's all going after Har Melech. Har Melech was very fertile, says before Shimon. I think it grew there till the very end. It was the last holdout for fruits and vegetables, and therefore that's when beer was Kovea in the last place. For Koloratus Ka'achas, Lazesim, Lutamarim. The whole country is like the same time when it comes to olives and tamarim and dates, presumably because animals go far and wide foraging for them, so that. It's all uniform, okay? And not all uniform. It's all uniform because the animals, it's available to animals wherever they are in the whole country because they move around. Okay. Mishnah Dalet. Now, which fields count? Which?
Sorry, just yeah. The Shalosh Aratzos Lebiu, was it based on Sukkim? Did they venture to that?
No, I don't think so. I think it's purely based on like climatic considerations and maybe topographic considerations. But the principle is. Yeah, I think it's just climactic, topographic, and I guess I think it's Fair Sorrell said, if I remember correctly, that like they said the animals didn't go from one to the other.
Didn't go.
Didn't the animals in region A didn't venture to region B? That will give a halakhic justification. I don't know if it makes. I don't know how much ecological sense it makes or doesn't make. I can't say, but that's Fair Sorrell's pshat. That certainly would make sense to explain the animals. It's unavailable for animals here, so therefore it's not available for you either if you're there. Okay, Ochan al Mufkar, in terms of what fields count in terms of to determine if your region has now run out of that material, that particular crop. Ochan al Mufkar, you can rely on what's available in the Hefker regions of Lola Shamor. But obviously any region that's protected and animals can't get to, like your backyard, the animals can't get to it anymore, so then that doesn't count. If the fact that your backyard still has carobs growing means nothing, that doesn't play anything, because the deer can't get there. Rabbi Yossi Matir Afba Shamir, Ashamur, Yossi says even your backyard, if there's food there, then it's still not considered all gone, because the birds can get it, don't worry, and so can the squirrels. Okay? Ochan ala, do we have squirrels in this country? I don't think I've seen any squirrels. Squirrels in Israel?
I don't know.
I don't think we do. I don't know. Okay. Ochan, I don't know if we do.
I may have seen something similar to squirrels, but I'm not sure. They may have been pits that escaped.
Okay. Ochan ala tvichin vala dufra. You can eat based on what you find in birdhouses. Dufra here are like, there's like pipes in the sides of the building, so the birds live there, and they will take grain from the ground and put it in the pipes for eating. So as long as they have the food, it's not considered all gone yet. Vala dufra, this is like from like dupra, two fruits, meaning it's like some plants have two crops in a year. So if the plant produces a second crop, as long as the second crop food is still available, it's considered still available. Avalo alha sitvanios, not on the winter crop of grapes. Some grapes grow a second time in the winter, but don't get bogged down with that. That's too different. It looks too different. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, oh, thank you very much. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Kozman, Shebichru, Ad Shelo Yichla Kait. Rabbi Yehuda's Makel, he says you could count your winter grapes as being available, provided that they were ripened, meaning you could see them, remember, so you could see the seed inside through the skin before summer ended. Then it's considered like that year's crop still. If the Tanakh Kamma says like it looks too weird, it looks like it looks like a new year's crop. Remember, September is when Shemitah is over, so to speak, whatever the date is exactly. So winter is like in December time, like looks like it's a New Year's grapes, and if they don't like that, they don't count that. If it's not available, the first crop from the summer is gone, then it's all over. The exact periods given, so the Bar Pindra gives grapes to cut off his Pesach time, figs is Hanukkah time, and dates is Purim time.
Did you say it slowly?
Grapes are Pesach, figs are Hanukkah, dates are Purim. Everything else, you have to go by those fancy charts. Good. Grapes are Pesach. That's it. Okay. Now, Mishnah Hey. This is a tricky Mishnah, but anyways, here the case is Hakovish Losha Kvashim Bechavis Achas. You pickle three different vegetables in a single barrel. You got your tomatoes, your peppers, and your pickle and your cucumbers all in one barrel. And they're gonna have different shas beer. So what's gonna be? We have different opinions here. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ochan al Rishon. He says, you got Erev Tamin, the tastes have interchanged. Now you got green tomato taste inside your cucumbers. So if it's time to get rid of your green tomatoes, so then you have to get rid of your cucumbers too. Rabbi Yoshua's Makel, the other way around. Very interesting shot. Sock. He says, Af ala Achron. He says, you can go after the last one in the barrel. Because he holds, based on Psukim really, that if any part of the fruit is still heter, then it's all heter. And since your pickles have absorbed taste of your tomatoes, even though tomatoes are asar, I'm sorry. We were giving an example before that the tomatoes are first to get beer and then the pickles, right? Then the cucumbers. So since your tomato has some cucumber absorptions in it, we say the whole tomato is still heter because of the cucumbers that are in it, the cucumber tongue that's in it. That's the really makel. So you go till the last of them are beer, then they're all mutter. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Kol Shekal Mino Minasada Yivar Mino Shel Chavis, and the Halacha Kedvarav. Meaning that each one, forget the tongue for a second. Just go, when it's time to get rid of the tomatoes, get rid of the tomatoes. Time to get rid of the pickles, get rid of the pickles. And time to get rid of the cucumbers, peppers, get rid of the peppers. Now, that's the halacha. It says halacha kedvarav. It's a question when that was added in. Either unusual for the Mishnah to say that, but maybe yes, or maybe it's added subsequently. Either way, This is a big stira. It's like an open stira. It's what we said in the seventh parak of Mishnah Zayin. We said that tam ke'ikar, and if you have tam, it's usser, and it ruins everything. That was the pashtus. Maybe that's why the bartender had his very funny read. That was difficult over there. Might resolve it. Everyone has an answer. All the answers are like, you know, this is a situation where you got, I told you, I don't know if I used this example before. It's like you're sleeping with a blanket that's too short. You cover your head, your toes are exposed. You cover your toes, your head's exposed. This is a bit of a tricky one. Okay? So, anyways, whatever the questions are, whatever the answer is, there's that looming question. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, Kol Yarek Echad LeBior. Reb Shimon gives a fourth sheet that he holds that all the Yarakos have the exact same time for beer. It's like, so the question's not a question. Whatever the deadline is, as long as there's some vegetables, you know, animals are picky, whatever they can finally eat. They don't care if it's a pepper or if it's a cucumber. So if there's peppers or cucumbers, then it's all Heter. Once peppers and cucumbers are gone, it's all Aser. Right? Ochlin Bargila, you can eat that good old purse lane. Ad Shiichla Sigarios Mavikas Beis Netofa, like a side point here. The bargila, the purse lane, I told you it's that kind of weed, which is gachabas, which is delicious, I'm sure, and eaten in much of the world, not in America where it's a weed. So you could eat it, but the thing is, it grows in cracks and nooks and crannies. You'll never know if it's still available. So how do you know? Use a proxy. You see if sigarios, artichokes, are available in Bikas Beis Netofa, the valley of Beis Netofa, which is very lush, I guess. So if the artichokes are available there, you can assume that there's purse lane available elsewhere. Okay? Good. Mishtavav, and we're nearing the end. So now we're giving more guidelines here. It says, Hamalakat Asavim Lachim. If you harvest moist grasses, you can use them Ad Sheyivash Hamatok, until the ground dries out. Right? We saw that lush, the similar lush by the manure earlier in the Masechta. Hamagabev Biyavash, if you gather in dry grasses, Ad Sheteir Viyashnia, you can eat them and have until Shas Bir doesn't come until the second rains. That's when they stop being available, which we gave a date as the 23rd of Cheshvan. That's the Bartanura. It's a Machlokas in Davav, Amud Aleph, and Tainus, three opinions, when it really is. In any case, so that's the deadline. Now, it's the same grasses, just the one is dry and one is when it's moist, one is dry. So the reason why is, I'm sorry, did I skip something? I'm sorry. Ale Kanim va'ale Gefanim. The leaves of reeds and the leaves of the vines, Ad sheyishru mavien. If the leaves are okay until they fall from the tree. When they fall from the tree, shas bir. However, hamagab b'yavesh, if you collect the dry leaves, so ad sheter d'viyishniya, t'flor d'viyishniya. But the same leaves, just dry and wet, two different times. The answer is, some animals eat it wet, some animals eat it dry. So it's two different foods, kilo. So one thing's for sure, you can't buck the system. You can't pick them wet and then change your mind and say, oh, I want them to go after the dry time. Pick them wet, then when they're not available wet on the trees, moist on the trees, then beer happens. Rabbi Kiva Omer Bakulan Ajater Ravishniya. Rabbi Kiva says all this stuff, whether wet, dry, doesn't matter. You have it to Ravishniya, then it's all over. Okay. Mishnah Zayin. Other things that are dependent on Ravishniya, nothing to do with Shvias here.